You'll be aware that we have been going through Mark's Gospel together as a fellowship, and we haven't abandoned Mark's Gospel, but what we're planning to do is to pick up on Mark's Gospel again so that we end up with the chapter 16, the end of Mark's Gospel, on Easter Sunday 2019. Seems a lot to think ahead to Easter, but we're going to do that a little at a time. I'm sorry that sometimes we're trying to deal with like a whole chapter at once. And I'd rather do like Clive did last week and just deal with a few words, like what does it mean to magnify the Lord? And Clive was picking out that word. It'd be great to do that. Well, we're only going to think of three or four words this morning. But what we're going to do is for these three Sundays leading into 2019, we're going to be thinking about a few very practical things. We're going to be considering prayer this morning. And then next week, John Raymond's going to be considering how we behave in this world and how we live our lives. And then Dick Chammings is coming to talk about our conversation and our speech. Little things that we can work on, practical things we can think about as we enter the next year or so. And then we're going to pick up on Mark's Gospel, and we're going to think about some of the characters and the people who made up part of the Gospel which Mark shares. But today we're talking about we're going to talk about prayer. And the theme, as you see, the title is Devote Yourselves to Prayer. And you'll find those words in Colossians chapter 4. So we're going to read a few verses now from Paul's letter to the Colossian church, chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 2. I'll read from verse 2 down through to verse 6, but these few verses are the subject of this week, next week, and the week after. So we're trying to unpack it in a little more detail for you. So Colossians 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So this morning, devote yourselves to prayer. And I noticed I was not alone in thinking of this theme, because, I don't know, are you going to Spring Harvest this year, Helen and Garth? Right, well, I see the theme is unlimited when you pray. That's the theme of Spring Harvest in its three locations in 2019. So I thought, well, we must be on the right lines. So devote yourselves to prayer. The priority of prayer first. We'll then go on to think about the purpose of prayer, the practicalities of prayer, the pursuit of prayer, the preciousness of prayer, and the possibilities of prayer. Now, you might think we're going to be here for 3 hours. Well, we could easily be here for 24 hours to consider all those topics. But all I want to do this morning is a brief little overview. Maybe, I don't know, we'll have to talk to Piers and the deacons about it. But maybe, perhaps later in the year, we might find it helpful to come back and unpack some of these details in a little more depth. You'll have to let us know. But devote yourselves to prayer is where we begin. It's the priority of prayer, to devote yourselves. The word devote, it actually means to persevere, to continue, to persist, keep at it if you like. Devote yourselves. We know that in the early church, just before Pentecost and the Holy Spirit was outpoured, they all continued constantly in prayer. They were devoted to prayer. And Jesus, of course, not only modeled but also taught devotion to prayer. We read in Luke's Gospel that Jesus spent the night praying. That sounds like devotion to me. Hard on your own. I've done it with others all night, but to do it on your own, that's quite difficult. But Jesus did, of course. And then Jesus also told a parable to show his disciples that they should always pray and not give up. So devotion suggests a commitment, dedication, perseverance. It suggests, if you like, a lifestyle, a flow of prayer. I wonder what people do devote their lives to. What do people devote their time to? What do you devote your time to? What does that involve? What does devotion look like? What does devotedness mean in Christian behavior? Well, you'll have to answer the questions. It's not easy. So the purpose of prayer. Let's move on. The priority of prayer. The purpose of prayer. One young boy was asked when he prayed and why he prayed. And this was his answer. I pray when I want something and when I don't think there is any other way of getting it. That may be a boy's summary of what he thought prayer was, but actually I think there are some adults who think a bit like that too. Yeah, I pray when I want something. I don't think there's any other way of getting it. Well, did God plan that prayer for you and for me should only be when we're presented with a list of needs or when things happen in our lives or our circumstances? Oh, then with the purpose of prayer is I should pray. I think not. So let's look at God's purpose in prayer. God's purpose for us includes, as we learn, a number one priority is gratitude to him. It's not of coming with a big list. It's coming with gratitude and thankfulness in our hearts for who he is and what he's done. Prayer, the purpose of prayer is to express my dependence on God. I cannot live this life for Jesus on my own. The purpose of prayer is also so that I might discover his will. I don't know which way to go sometimes. Do I do this? Do I do that? What is God's will? Prayer is a way of discovering his will. I love the idea of exploring and discovering how God's at work. How is his kingdom coming? Not only in my own little world, but in the big wide world. And in prayer, I can begin to discover, I can explore how God works, how his kingdom comes. Another aspect and purpose of prayer is that it teaches us to humble ourselves. That can be so in the very attitude with which we approach prayer. It's teaching us. We're learning. And then there's that responding. There's a whole raft of instruction in God's word about how to live for him and how to obey him. So the purpose of prayer is so that I can say, yes, Lord, I've heard. Here I am, Lord. I'm available. I will. It's responding obediently to what he says. And then another wonderful aspect of prayer, another wonderful purpose in prayer, is that we are overcomers. John writes in his letter, everyone born of God overcomes the world. And you read the book of Revelation. I'm just coming to the end. It's timely. I shall finish the very last verse in the book of Revelation tomorrow, the last day of the year. I didn't plan it like that. But it's a book about overcoming. Isn't it great to be an overcomer? To be an overcomer. And that's God's purpose. Well, actually, as I said a few moments ago, we could take hours just unpacking every single one of those. So we could take 3-4 weeks just looking at the purpose of prayer. There's so much in it. But I'm just skating over it, just to drop a few seed thoughts for you to take away this morning. So the priority of prayer, the purpose of prayer. What about the practicalities of prayer? Well, there are ways in which we pray. First of all, we pray on our own. Well, I'm sure you do, because often we're spending quite a lot of time on our own. Jesus did. And in private, Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That is the teaching of the Lord Jesus. So it speaks about praying on our own in private, which means we have a relationship with the one that we're talking to. We're developing that relationship. We have friendship with the Lord Jesus. It also gives us that personal security that we are not needing the attention of others because we're shut in quietly on our own. We don't need somebody to pat us on the back and say, that's good, or we need approval. No, we're secure. And of course, that devotion that is part of this text, devote yourselves to prayer, that very much comes through being on your own in private with the Lord. Personal devotedness. I trust you do have a daily time. I hope you make it the best possible time of the day, not just the odds and ends that you can fit in. I hope you give priority time to praying on your own in private with the Lord, because that encourages devotion. But we not only pray on our own in private, but we pray on our own in persistence. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he says, pray continually. This is something very simple. Paul said to Timothy, he said, night and day, all the time, I pray constantly and remember you in my prayers. He prayed for his young disciple. Very, very simple. And note the context of Colossians chapter 4. If you look at what has been written just beforehand, at the end of chapter 3, it's all about daily living. Paul has written about rules for Christian households. It's written about how wives to live, how husbands are to live, how children are to live, how servants are to live, how people are to live their daily lives. And right in the context of that, moment by moment, he says, devote yourselves to prayer. So I see that as persistence in just ordinary daily things. I don't know if it's ever been natural to you to turn all sorts of opportunities into occasions for prayer. Is that the way you live your life? I remember being on a railway platform once, seeing off a friend who was a missionary, actually. He challenged me to get involved in getting training for full-time mission. I never went full-time, but I did spend 2 full years with Operation Mobilization, which was a blessing in my life. And I remember Greg Livingstone. We were just walking on this platform. It was cold in the winter. And he just started praying just where he was. And no, he said, sit down, shall we pray? He just was walking along the platform praying. This was new to me. I was still quite young. And I thought, well, this is great. And I've learned a little bit more about that with all sorts of people in all sorts of situations to turn it into prayer. Roger Bartlett, who was a police inspector in Barnstable, now retired, Roger said to me once, he said, every time you see the police car going along or hear the siren, do the same for the ambulance or the fire or the coast guards. He said, pray for them. Just immediately pray for them. Do it straight away. Think about where they may be going to, what they're facing. Just pray for them. Well, I do. And I think that's great. It's persistence. It's pray continually. So I'm on my own. I'm not with anybody else, but it's praying. So the practicalities of praying, so many. But then, of course, we are to pray together. We are praying together. What does Paul say? Here's the title, devote yourselves to prayer. That's plural, isn't it? Yourselves, that's do it together. And the Apostle Paul often encouraged people. He said, you are able to help me by your prayers. Well, there you are. As you help us by your prayers, he wrote to the Corinthians. We know the first Christians, they met together to pray, because they all joined together constantly in prayer. And that was, as we saw, just before the Holy Spirit came. Do we long for the Holy Spirit to come? Would it make a difference if the Holy Spirit fell on us? Would it make a difference to our nation if the Holy Spirit suddenly was outpoured? It has happened in the past. There hasn't been any revival without God's people coming together beforehand to pray. Many people, I haven't studied the history of revivals, but I've read those who have, and they've said there has always been a constant joining together in prayer. Well, it's there in the scripture, it's there in history. Not surprising, is it? What happened? They raised their voices together in prayer to God. Well, Peter had been clapped into prison, and they raised their voices in prayer to God. I think Pierce was sharing about this on Christmas morning. And they raised their voices together in prayer to God in the home of John Mark, his mother Mary. And what happened? Well, it was amazing. After they'd prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Wow. I think this building would be all right, Nick, wouldn't it, if it was shaken a bit? Yeah, as Nick says, it would be all right. But yeah, the building was shaken. And the world was shaken, and things happened as they prayed together. And even after they had fasted and prayed in the church, the first church that was mentioned in Antioch, then the Holy Spirit said, "Separate to me Paul and Barnabas, and I'm going to send them on the journeys." Well, they prayed together, of course. How important that is. But praying together requires sacrifice. And it's not easy to come together to pray. Often, the church prayer meeting is, it's not easy to attend. We can always find something else. But praying together is wonderfully encouraging because we learn together. We learn. We learn to listen to the Lord. We listen to one another. We learn to wait. We learn to interact with each other. We learn to see how the Lord is leading by his Holy Spirit in and through one another. And that's very important in praying together. Maybe we need to unpack all that in a lot more detail. But I've known prayer meetings that have been wonderful as we have prayed together. Others have been ruined because people haven't learned how to pray together. But then that's probably because some people have never been instructed on how to pray together. And we need to learn. We need to avoid domination. I know it's very easy because I won't say prayer comes naturally to me, because when I was young, I remember a small group of my school friends said, "We're going to start a Christian union in the school." And they gathered a little group of people they thought would be interested in a tiny little room upstairs down in the grammar school in Torquay, where I was a pupil. And they said, "Right, man, we're now going to pray, and we're going to pray around the room, and when it's your turn, you pray." I thought, "Help, where do I go? Where do I hide?" But I tell you, I really am grateful to those contemporaries, those peer group lads of my own age, because, well, I've completely bungled it. But now I find prayer so natural that I have to avoid domination, because it's so easy. I'll come in and pray anywhere, anytime, because it's just normal, natural, it's easy. But you've got to learn. I tend to go on and pray too long. You need to shut me up, because you need to have a turn. We need to use the right sort of language. You know, it's ever so easy to be sort of religious language when you pray. No, that's dominating. Let's just be natural as we learn to pray together. Being natural is so important. We grow in our communication with the Lord. We had to grow in our communication with our families. When we were babies, we couldn't talk at all. Our parents taught us. You were probably taught English. I've known others who've grown up and they've been taught French or some other language. Well, that's not surprising if your parents are French. And actually, two of my grandsons were brought up, they're English, but my son also speaks French, so he taught them to speak French as well. So that makes it some sort of bilingual. But anyway, we have to learn to be natural and use natural language as we pray. The Lord understands. He knows it's coming from our hearts anyway. And that helps us to overcome inhibition, expressing what's on our heart. The practicalities of prayer, praying together. I think there's a whole raft of things we need to unpack here. We never talk about it. So no wonder when we say we're going to have a prayer meeting, which there will be, this Thursday, 7 o'clock, here, and Liz forgot to put it on the notice sheet, but there you go. I'm telling you now, there's an opportunity to pray. I'm sorry, Rita and I won't be there. We're away with our daughter. But everyone can come and participate. It's a part that everyone can play because everyone is needed. Great. Isn't that wonderful? The practicalities of praying together. Devote yourselves to prayer. 2019, we're going to have lots of new opportunities, I hope. And what distinguishes a church as a praying church? Is this a praying church? Is it because we have a prayer meeting? Is it because there are lots of requests that we always are able to bring? Actually, I don't think so. Prayer can be very challenging. Praying together can be very challenging. I think what distinguishes a church as a praying church is that everyone is devoted to prayer as a priority, and they make every effort to join it. So, the priority of prayer, the purpose of prayer, practicalities of prayer. Quickly through the other three things I mentioned. The pursuit of prayer. Well, here's an interesting illustration. Prayer sometimes is likened to mooring a boat. There's a boat with a mooring rope. And if you pull on the mooring rope, what happens? You're trying to get in on the jetty. You pull on the rope. Do you pull the jetty towards the boat? The jetty moves towards where you are? No. What happens when you pull on the rope? Your boat moves towards the jetty, right? And then you tie the rope up and the boat is secure. That's what happens, isn't it? That's what it's like in the pursuit of prayer. Prayer doesn't bring God down to where we are and into our situations because he's already involved. It brings our lives to where he is and brings our lives to line up with what his purpose and anchors us to him. So the pursuit of prayer is all about my relationship with God. It's all about drawing me closer to him. It's all about my knowing him, making sure I'm walking with him. I'm really trusting him, that I've repented of my sin and I've given my life to him. It's about learning what to pray. John says we need to pray according to his will. So our prayers develop as we come close to the Lord, as we discover his will. And that's often not as I want to see things happen, or as I think things should happen, or as I see the way things should happen. No, it's seeking the Lord so that I learn what he wants to happen, what he wants, extending beyond my own concerns. I've got lots of things and people I want to pray for all the time. Paul says to the Philippian church, look not only to your own interests, but look to the interests of others. So that's why it's so important that I get the heart of God, his concerns, developing my praying. It's so easy to pray. You know, have you heard, I think the President of the United States has prayed so often, God bless America. Well, what does that mean? Or you pray, just be with them, Lord. Well, the Lord is with us anyway, but what does it mean from that sort of generic, general sort of statement to being informed and be specific, developing my praying, being constructive in how I use words? Well, actually, people do use more than words. Nick probably uses art to pray. I know somebody who draws, a wonderful artist, and she draws. And that's an expression of prayer. I know in the House of Prayer in Barnstaple, if you've ever been in there, they've got one room, and round the walls are pictures, like that picture up there, just to help people to pray. There's all sorts of ways of developing praying. I said I had to learn with someone who became a friend of mine, walking on a railway station platform. There's all sorts of ways of praying. You can sit, of course, you can kneel if you like, you can walk, you can run. There's all sorts of ways of praying. I've been in a prayer shout. That's great. I've been in prayer meetings where people have prayed in many different languages at once because they come from all different parts of the world. And it's wonderful when you pray with people from all the nations on earth. It's great. And everybody praying at once. In Central Asia, we have a friend who is very prominent in Christian ministry in Central Asia. And she told us that when they have their prayer meetings, everybody prays out loud all together. Well, that frightens the British to death, you know. We can't cope with that. But actually, you can. It's wonderful. And there are all sorts of ways you can develop prayer. Many, many different things. Using the Bible for prayer. Do you pray out of the Bible? It's great because God directs us when we use the Bible to pray. When we're on our own, as well as when we're together. Well, that's another whole subject. We could do another whole message on using the Bible in prayer, but we haven't got time to do that. We're going to just mention it this morning, all right? You get the idea. A sacrifice is involved in praying. Prayer is costly. Prayer is the work. Devote yourselves to prayer. It's not the best programs we can come up with. It's not the best ideas. It's a sacrifice of the pursuit of prayer. Actually, our friend in Central Asia said to us when she was with us in October, she said that the new believers in Central Asia just seem to find it much more natural than we do in England to pray. It's just, and they're new believers. They've been Christians a few months, maybe a year, something like that, but it's just a natural thing. But for us, somehow, we've got to work at it. I suppose we're British, I'm not sure what it is. But anyway, there we are, the preciousness of prayer. Well, how do we illustrate the preciousness of prayer? Well, the best thing I could think of is that prayer is like breathing. So precious. We take it for granted. It's wonderful. Prayer can become as natural as the breath you're taking in now and then you're breathing it out. And what a joy. But yeah, it's always supernatural because it involves this daily walk with God, controlled by the Holy Spirit. So the more we learn to pray, the more it becomes a delight. The more it becomes precious. The more it becomes lifestyle, normal. It's not awkward. It's not sort of generalized, vague, but it's specific and real. It's no longer embarrassing. No longer best left to others. Is the prayer meeting best left to others? Because I find it difficult. I'm not quite sure what to say and how to go about it. Well, let's learn together. Prayer is very, very precious. It becomes as precious as breathing. What about the possibilities of prayer? What about possibilities of prayer for us as a little fellowship in 2019? Well, here are a few suggestions. I'm rounding off with these for you to think about. Let's have honesty about how much I can learn. All right, I can learn a lot more about prayer. I haven't discovered a lot about prayer. The most poignant reminder of that came to me when I was with Operation Mobilization and I was staying in the Bible College of Wales, which was founded by Rhys Howells, who was a great intercessor and through whose prayers the Second World War turned round. I really mean that. He was a remarkable man of God. And I was sat next to an evening meal, I was sat next to Samuel Howells. Now, Samuel Howells was Rhys Howells' son. And Samuel Howells had just emerged from a long period of prayer and fasting. He followed in his father's footsteps. And I had to sit next to Samuel Howells, who was principal of this Bible college. I tell you, I never realized how much I had to learn about prayer until I sat next to that godly man, because the presence of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit was so, so evident. I'm not usually short of words to say, but actually I could hardly say anything. The power of God was so evident. and there's a man who just come out of private prayer, and he sat next to me. Wow, I tell you, there's a lot I have to learn. But I'm glad that there's teaching and help. And maybe we need some teaching about prayer. Would you find some teaching helpful about prayer? I think some of us might. And I think there are lots of practical ways in which we might help one another. Let's have more thanksgiving for the answers to prayers. We're so good at bringing big, long lists of requests. But let's have a lot more rejoicing and thanksgiving in 2019. This is a possibility. I'm only suggesting it. More thanksgiving for answers. Why don't you find someone else to pray with in 2019? I'd love to pray with anyone who really wants to pray. I'm delighted. Rita and I, we love to pray together. I won't elucidate that, but we spend quite a bit of time praying together. We love to do it. It's natural. It's normal. In fact, we spent we were still teenagers when we first met, but our courting days were spent in prayer meetings. So we love to pray, and we still do. So we got to make time for prayer. You have to make time for prayer because there are so many other commitments. And if we're going to be together as a chapel praying, we're going to have to make time for prayer. Maybe we have to be a bit more flexible. Maybe we need to find a better time than a Tuesday evening or a Thursday evening to come together to pray. Maybe there's nothing to stop us coming together to pray any time. If we've got a better time, let's make a better time and use a better time to come. Let's make time for prayer. Let's be practical about it. And let's be experimental as well. The ways I've prayed so far, and I've prayed in lots of different ways, are not the only ways to pray. There are lots of believers in lots of cultures, in lots of parts of the world, who've discovered many exciting, thrilling, powerful, and effective ways to pray. I'd like to find out a bit more. Would you? Well, Daniel would. Bless his heart. Well, he's up for it. What about the rest of you? Praise the Lord. It's great, isn't it? So there we are. Just a little look. I don't know where we're going to go with the other considerations, practical considerations, but I hope it might help us move into 2019 by faith together. Let us devote ourselves to prayer. Let us do that. So we're going to turn to number 567, which is all about prayer. It's a great old hymn, and it expresses for us the many different aspects. And it does say that prayer is the Christian's vital breath, as natural as breathing, the Christian's native air. That just means natural. His watchword at the gates of death, he enters heaven with prayer. Well, we may all have to experience that too. So let's stand and sing 5, 6, 7, 7 quick verses, and